Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That adventure was really cool because it, first of all, increased immediately my referral network. I got, you know, lots of cool people that I clicked with and started sending me leads and potential clients. I got exposure to their audiences, you know, started getting some traction there. I was like, okay, this is cool. But in the meantime, I was posting my interviews on LinkedIn, and many people approached me asking, Tiago, what the hell? Why are you suddenly everywhere? Can you show me how you're doing it? And I was like, ah.
Why did I become an executive coach? I saw lots of great people fail to get ahead at work, while their much less talented peers blew right past them. That made me furious, but also curious. What were great people getting wrong? It came down to helping them re-examine what drove success and then helping them make critical shifts, one hard truth at a time.
Feel like you're doing everything you were told, but you're not moving ahead at work nor having the impact you seek? Then welcome to 97% Effective with Michael Winderoth, where we skip feel-good, happy talk and engage experts in pointed conversations about what it really takes to move the needle at work and your career. So if you feel stalled or frustrated, or seek that extra edge as you move to the next level, then look no further. This is the Hard Truths Playbook you never got.
Hi, I'm Michael Winderoth, and you're listening to 97% Effective. It's what other people say about you when you're not in the room. That's your personal brand. What are you known for? So why is your brand important? It's a big piece of the work I do in executive coaching. Whether you are inside a company or you're working on your own, a strong, memorable brand that the right people know about can lead recruiters to reach out to you, getting featured in the media, or potential clients to seek out your services. Now, there are many ways to market yourself, but today we're going to talk about an extremely effective way to do it: guesting on podcasts. And who better than to discuss this topic than my guest today, Tiago Feria. He's an ex-Googler, extremely smart, who came originally also out of the world of branding and marketing. And his expertise is helping individuals market themselves and amplify their brand through podcast guesting. I got to know Tiago because he has recommended some of my best guests. They came prepared, which helped amplify this show and their message. And people rave about how he has helped them. And then on top of that, I have a lot of clients who, when we discuss the importance of visibility and branding, they think about starting their own podcasts, to which I say, that is a lot of hard work. Why not think about starting and doing podcast guesting? So I called Tiago because I wanted to learn more about what he does. Our goal today is to talk about guesting on podcasts, why you should do it, who it works for, and how to do it well so you get an amazing ROI from your time and efforts. Tiago, thank you for joining me on my podcast, 97% Effective.
Michael, such an honor, really. Thank you so much for having me. Such amazing intro. I never had, this is the best intro I've ever got. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to tell you all about the random experiment that changed my life and my business last year.
Intriguing, the idea of the random experiment. And perhaps that goes to, I mentioned brand marketer, Google for many years, and now setting up your own firm focused on helping people build brand and their business through podcast guesting. Can you give us a little bit of how you got there and why podcast guesting?
For sure. Yeah, that's a great, interesting path that I went through. So starting at Google, right? So 8 years there, corporate world, having tons of fun with Google Ads and working with the biggest companies in the world, et cetera. Decided to quit 2019, came back to Portugal, 5 years of testing different things for my own adventure, right? Like being a Google Ads consultant, Facebook Ads consultant, business consultant, nothing that would excite me that much. And I was, overwhelming myself with creating content because people were saying, yeah, create as much as content as possible, videos, blog posts, etc. Kind of reached a point that I was exhausted by it, like burned out actually of creating content. And I stopped doing those things and my business started also plunging down until a point where I signed up to a program, a marketing program, a coaching program. And one of the things they told me about was the podcast guesting. It's an interesting way for you to network with amazing people, leverage referrals, no need to create content. And I was like, oh, yes, I am already plugged to this. So I went all in. So 4 months, I locked myself in my room, closed the blinds, pitched my way through and booked myself in 67 different podcasts, which was insane. Don't recommend anyone, Michael, please. Please don't tell anyone to do it.
This is the random test that you're referring to.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Four months, 67 shows.
Exactly. Booked. I didn't record them all during that period, but I booked the way up. I'm still doing a couple of shows that I was booked in that period. But it gave me a good insight of what works, what doesn't, how to be an interesting guest, how to position yourself. And I got coached by lots of hosts, big name hosts. I remember one lady telling me, you're just giving a lot of information that's boring in a podcast. You know, you should have a unique framework. You should work on your story to be compelling. And I was like, oh, okay, taking notes. So yeah, that adventure was really cool because first of all, increased immediately my referral network. I got, lots of cool people that I clicked with and started sending me leads and potential clients. I got exposure to their audiences, started getting some traction there. I was like, okay, this is cool. But in the meantime, I was posting my interviews on LinkedIn and many people approached me asking, Tiago, what the hell? Why are you suddenly everywhere? Can you show me how you're doing it? And I was like, the market is telling me there's a need here that I could fill with my experience at Google, crafting offers, ads, and that's what got me to create this done-for-you service and start this adventure this year. We're actually beginning this year.
It's interesting you say it's only a year because I get lots of solicitations from potential guests or through consultants they use. A lot of them are off the mark. The language they use is really odd. It's almost annoying. It's spam. But yours popped out when you were introducing guests. And so I want to first call that. It feels like you have done this forever. So it sounds like that 4 months really accelerated your learning curve and insights. And the fact that you did it for yourself, I think says a lot. You had mentioned feeling exhausted. I think a lot of people are feeling exhausted of having to go produce the content, come up with something new. Did the podcast guesting reduce that exhaustiveness? Talk about kind of like pre-post what the main difference was for you in terms of your time and also this part around. Sounds like your exposure just shot through the roof.
Absolutely. So basically, I'm working much less in the content production side and getting much more exposure because, instead of being locked in my room, looking at the camera, trying to be cool, okay, I need to create an awesome reel or Instagram reel or shorts or whatever. Instead of spending that 1 hour on your head, locked in your head, trying to create content and to an audience that you're still maybe not growing that much and there's no traction, instead of doing that, I could be spending that 1 hour talking to Michael Wenderoth, getting an amazing connection with a highly networked person like yourself, an influential person, because lots of people that have been on your podcast. So leveraging that connection, that's one thing. And then I would get access also to new audiences, right? Because the hosts have their own followership, email lists, downloads from their podcast. So I'm immediately tapping into those existing audiences. And at the same time, I'm creating content without me noticing even. I'm just having an amazing conversation with amazing people. And content is extracted from me without me even noticing it, basically. I just enjoying myself. And your best content usually comes out, most authentic content comes out naturally. Instead of you trying to force yourself to be cool in front of a camera, it's being extracted from you by having fun. And then the other benefit, as you said, Michael, at the beginning, that you're not creating the podcast, you're not the host. So that's on the host, all the logistics, organizing everything. So then you get to create a long form, a piece of content you could share with your audience for sure, with your email list, etc. But then the plus that I'm adding that I started to differentiate myself from others is that I'm repurposing each of those interviews to create short video content, interesting parts that are very good pieces of content because they are validated by a third party. You're being interviewed, you're seen as an expert. very cool social proof there.
Yes. First, a very quick question. When I say podcast these days, people kind of roll their eyes and they say, you know, podcasts are dead. 90% of podcasts don't get past episode 9 or 21, depending where you look. Podcast dead, fact or fiction?
No, it's true that there are lots of podcasts that don't survive. The sheer number of, I think there's more than 6 million podcasts nowadays. So even 10% of that is a huge pool of people that are doing a great job for this type of consumer that is, in my opinion, it's a better type of consumer because the podcast listeners, because they like to go deep, right? They want to learn and usually they're better implementers. They act on what they learn. And they usually, there's also studies that say that they have better, higher average income. So it's great if you have a business that sells higher ticket products or services. So it's growing. It's a business that's growing. The consumption is growing. And the type of consumer that consumes it is a very interesting prospect for businesses.
So, Tiago, you've mentioned the benefits of podcast guesting. And certainly when you compare it to creating your own content, less effort, the network benefits. Just quickly, because I'm sure you have lots of people who reach out for your services. Are there people who, being a podcast guest, is you'd say, you might consider something else. This is not for you. Are there any factors that separate a great candidate, this is going to help you, versus someone who think about a different marketing method?
Yeah, it's a great question, Michael. It's great to point out because I still didn't discuss that in any podcast. So it's a fantastic way to, you know, for people to self-identify, okay, is it a good thing for me or not? So the ideal guest is someone who relies on trust to sell higher tickets, you know, consulting services, products, coaching services. So those are the ideal clients because, number one, they rely on trust, so they need exposure of their personal brand because, you know, there's no other way to create a better increase the trust than to just be yourself, show yourself, telling your story, showing yourself in action in a long piece of form of content. So those people, coaches, consultants, agency owners, you know, people that sell higher ticket stuff. And also because podcast guesting is not a thing that you show up on one podcast and you suddenly have 100 clients. No, it doesn't work that way. So if you sell, for example, spinners, how do you call those things that were in fashion years ago? I forgot, Michael. Maybe
the little fidget
that.
Ones, right?
Fidget spinners. Yes. If that's
okay,
what you're selling.
Well, you can tell we had little kids, right?
Exactly. That's not going to work on a podcast because you need a lot of volume of sales to make it worthwhile. And it's not the best medium for that, but that you have like ads, you know, Facebook ads, Google ads, or other stuff that could be more e-commerce, more relevant for e-commerce. But if you sell higher ticket services, products, etc., you just need one or two people, the right people to listen to the right episode and feel the connection. And, oh my God, I need to work with this guy. I need to contact him, or my company needs to contact him, or I need to refer him to this event. He's a great public speaker, or he has an amazing book that should be, and, you know. So it's more of an opportunity of the right person to listen to the right episode and not like a massive, you know, revenue lead generation platform.
Okay. So those who are small business owners who are in professional services, consulting, coaching, high trust. I would add to this, because this is interesting as we're having this conversation, that many of my clients work for large companies or medium-sized companies. And I find that provided they're allowed to, sometimes there's restrictions on talking about corporate confidential things, podcast guesting can be very effective for a lot of them. Because especially if they have an expertise or a niche, it gets them known out in the marketplace, which can lead to speaking engagements, recruiters seeing you externally, sometimes wakes up people inside your company. I've seen this multiple times as a very effective strategy. And you're the guest. So, you know, you're bringing a certain expertise that particular host would like to hear about. So it's a great way to kind of build a personal brand there, particularly if you're thinking about eventually transitioning into being on your own. Let's talk about, before we dive into your three-step, which I think are really keys for you to get people to think about how to make this work really well for you. Is there a top mistake or misnomer that people have about podcast guesting that you would just like to call out and say, hey, this is a myth or this is a big mistake people make when they think about it?
Oh, yeah. Another great question. And there's a ton of them. I made them all for sure. What comes to mind as maybe the first and most common is some people that go on a couple of podcasts and they try their first experiments. They turn on their teacher mode and just go there to share a lot of information. And okay, this is what you should do. This is my knowledge, and I know it all. So that's maybe the number one mistake. It usually doesn't work because people don't like to be just taught all the time. No one really likes teachers when they're kids. Podcast is more about creating a connection with the listener. And you don't get to create a connection just by purely sharing information and teaching. That really doesn't work. You should invert that perspective and think about more, first of all, of what makes you different from the pack. What is the one unique selling proposition that would make you not just another coach or not just another, CEO of a company? That's the first thing to think about. But then also about your reason why you are here. Well, what brought you to this expertise? For example, are you a coach on a mission that you specifically started doing this because of this specific reason and you got to experience all the things that your current clients are feeling and then you found this thing versus being a coach or with a cash register just ready to, be there to sell, share information, okay, buy from me. So those are two things that I feel people usually commit that mistake. I did the same. It's a natural thing, unfortunately. We tend to think that being a teacher and sharing information is the best thing to do. But in this world, specifically in a podcasting world, it doesn't work that way. You really need to be, the audience needs to feel that we understand them, that they need to feel that connection. Yeah. Mm.
Feeling the connection and this part around differentiation. I'm really fond, again, tapping into our years back in marketing. I know you have that expertise as well, but the saying of being different is better than better. So that ability to differentiate in the mind of other people, and there's that part around connection. You talk about three areas, right? When we had a conversation, keys and the steps to becoming a great guest and helping to build your brand and use podcast guesting. And they were essentially prepping, booking, and amplifying. I like the simplicity of that. And I thought it would be really useful and interesting here to put you a little on the spot and say, let's kind of walk through. Obviously, we won't go through your whole process, but highlight a couple pieces in these three steps. If we went through like a case study and like we treated myself as your client, okay? I want to go out and be on additional podcasts. I'm a host, but now I want to be a guest. So maybe you do like a high level like makeover here, pointing out some things about Michael Wenderoth, or feel free to maybe give examples too of things with your clients. Are you game for that, Tiago?
No, for sure. Let's do it. Let's do it, Michael. Okay. Great idea.
So we've kind of determined that, hey, this may help my business. I am an executive coach. I've got a book and a podcast. And so talk about this prep stage. What is most important in this stage as we embark?
Yeah, for sure. So, there's a bunch of things that I like to do with my clients, but maybe we can focus on one or two things. As we mentioned the unique proposition, what makes you different. So one of the first worksheets I share with my clients, and then we have a coaching call, is the worksheet about the positioning, okay? And we need to find what makes you different, okay? This is one thing that they will attract the attention of the host for sure. This is exactly what I worked. I take a lot of time on this part because if you don't have something special, the host will think, okay, I already interviewed another career coach, okay, whatever. So, and I have three different options that I work with my clients. So I try to simplify it as much as possible because, okay, what makes you how to be different, right? Many people think, oh, I'm just another one, I don't have anything special. But there's always something we could think about. So I have three separate exercises. So the number one is to think about what your clients do not like to do, or they hate to do, or something that they don't have the ability to do. So what is in their mind, and think about what is not allowing them to have the success that they want, and add it to your positioning message. So I help you do this without that specific thing that you don't like. And it already immediately captures the attention of the person on the other side. They're like, oh my God, yeah, I really don't like to do this. And that's what's been keeping me out. So maybe he has a different thing, a new perspective that I never heard of, a new idea, a new process. So that's one exercise that you can do. The other exercise, which is my favorite, is the unusual approach, which is to look at, okay, what is your what is the market saying about, you know, what is the market message? You know, what is the status quo that your competitors are all saying? And you could say something completely opposite, unusual and different about that. For example, there's I know a guy called Dr. Glenn Livingston. I always see him as an example, as an amazing podcast guest. He has like a program called Never Binge Again. And he says that, you know, many people say that you have an inner child that you should take care of because it makes you like feed, you need to eat to compensate. And he says, no, you have a pig inside you that you cannot, that you have to control. So you see, saying completely the opposite of what the market is saying is another way of you differentiating yourself and coming up as someone who has a new solution, a new option that was never in the market. And another exercise to do is, okay, to think about the two. Imagine you have a couple of skills that you've combined to create your own unique solution. That's another way for you to differentiate yourself. An example I gave is usually about a fitness teacher that teaches dressage riders how to become more proficient at the profession. So she combined her fitness knowledge with her dressage riding experience to create something unique. Okay, so this is the exercise that we do to find your, you know, uniqueness, a unique message. And for, I can give you examples. I know you worked with, you interviewed John Gates. I can tell you.
John Gates was on in the last year. Yeah.
I'm actually going to interview him for a testimonial in the next few days. So he's fine. He's not going to be unhappy about me mentioning him here. So for him, we worked on the, so he's a salary negotiation coach. We worked on making his message sound good with the without exercise. So without risking job offers, you know, you can negotiate your salary without the risk of people, or what is in the mind of the people, you know, that they're afraid of it, you know, I don't know how to do it. So, yeah, I think
yeah. So really here in this stage, you are helping them, if they don't feel like they've honed in on it, come up with that differentiating message that's one, going to very much appeal to a host, but also resonate with particularly with clients who are undergoing some of the pains that person addresses.
Absolutely. Help you.
You've been listening to 97% Effective with your host, executive coach, Michael Winderoth. If this interview is making you think, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, back to our interview.
So, you know, again, if we're doing the makeover here, you know, as you were talking about those, so would these land for you, right? Like, so most of my clients have an aversion to office politics. And what I help them do is ethically leverage politics and power to ascend in organizations. You know, that sounds like it would be in the thing that they dislike. I have a different approach to it. I also run contrary to other coaches. I think a lot of times you want to be inauthentic to advance and get things done and move up in your career.
Absolutely.
It was very helpful as you kind of framed those for me to rethink, you know, what is a key message.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. And I can tell you have a marketing background. So this exercise will be very easy for you to create something differentiated.
But that being said, Tiago, I want to ask you this, like marketer to marketer, ex-marketer to ex-marketer, we're very good at doing it for other people. But doing it on ourselves, it's like doctors are the worst at, you know, being a patient. I'm good at editing other people's work, but editing my own, tough. Even like honing in on my brand. Or I've had some clients who are marketers and they take forever. But it sounds like you maybe not so much.
It is. That's why I went to, I'm always on coaching programs. I'm always learning, having a second view on what I'm doing. And it's absolutely true. I'm much better at helping others than, I don't know why we do that to ourselves, but it's so common in every industry and every, you know, thing that we do. There's also expressions here in Portugal that talk about that. Like it's a common knowledge thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the prep stage is honing in on your differentiating message. And I want to just call out, because I would say of all my guests, I would say like 5 or 10% do it. which is this thing that came across John Gates, was this beautiful like one-page sheet. Here's what I do. Here's my brief bio. I usually have to ask for this or have my assistant chase after the person for these things. And then also like proposing, here's great topics. Here's even a copy of my book or a summary of it. I believe he called that a media sheet. So share a little bit about that media sheet. And then, yeah, how do you then get this person on great podcasts, the booking stage?
Yeah, absolutely. So the media one sheet is important, mostly for the host, because it makes their lives easier, right? And that's the purpose of my approach is, okay, I have to show how my clients will add value to their products, to their audience. That's number one. But also number two, I want to make sure that their life is as easy, as smooth as possible, because I know how busy they are. They know so much logistics. And if I make their lives easier, they will love me even more. They're like, oh my God, yes, bring me more guests, because you know, you're making my work easy. You bring me relevant people. So the media one sheet helps to suggest a topic. And then even I send suggested questions, so you don't have to elaborate, you know, a huge script for it, if you will. So that is important. And it has a bio that makes a short version of the origin story of my clients and what makes them different. So that is all for the host. But you can also use the media one sheet for other purposes, like for public speaking gigs, for other traditional media, whatever. So that's number one. And then when I collect all the information I need from my clients, I either tap into my existing network of hosts, which is growing by the day, right? I'm adding more clients, having more niches, or go on ahead with my outreach process, which is, you had a taste of it, right? Yeah, actually, you were a part of it. You were pitched a couple of my clients. And I try to make my emails very different from the spam they receive. Yes,
they were very different and they were very spot on. It's like you had read stuff that I had done and it was like you were talking to me like you knew me. So I don't know, maybe you got secret sauce there, but like, how do you do that, Tiago? That Google background, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Google, crafting offers. And okay. I had a lot of outbound experience, email outbound. So I realized that if you're just another one that's selling something very directly, people ignore it, spam and the spammer. So I try to be a bit, how do you say, desconcertante. There's like, it disarms you, the email, because, oh, what is this? This guy's being fun and making jokes. And then he actually listens to that episode and gives us a short comment that is interesting. And he shows how the client will add value to my podcast. And he has all these things done for me. He has a media one sheet. He has the photos of the headshots. So it's harder for the host to say no, even if they don't see immediately the value. They take the work to study it, read the media one sheet, see the previous interviews of my clients. So it increases the odds of being accepted, of course, if it's relevant. And I do my best to make sure I match only the most relevant and established podcasts, right? So I go ahead with that outreach process and with follow-ups, of course. People are busy, distracted. Follow-up is, as you know, as a business owner, follow-up is key to most things. It makes things move. And then, yeah, I just start booking my clients either to intro calls with hosts, which many like to do it, or directly to the recording. And yeah, that's the secret sauce.
And in this part around booking, so reaching out, following up, pitching, clearly if you've got a service or an expert like yourself who's doing it, who knows how to do it effectively, or has a network of great podcast hosts, it's going to happen quicker. The thing that comes up, and maybe if Tiago's doing it for you, you don't face this at all, but I know that a lot of people feel awkward about pitching themselves. It's like, I have to kind of, you know, the self-promotion piece, or even a little bit like sleazy because you're selling, or it feels like you're selling. How do you get over that? I mean, I can just then give it to you and then I don't have to deal with it. But how do you do that in a way that just not feels sleazy or like overly self-promoting?
Yeah, for sure, Michael. Great question. And actually, I have a surprise for your listeners if they reach out to me at LinkedIn. I have a template that they can use to, if they want to do it themselves, they can go ahead. And that email, all the secrets are there, basically. So you need to create a connection with the host first. You cannot jump in right in and say, hey, I want to be on your podcast. I'm amazing. No, you know, you cannot do that. That feels sleazy. That feels salesy. But if you approach it in an abundant way where you, you know, first create a connection, make sure you listen to the a couple of episodes, give, you know, some comment about it. If you create that connection first, then it opens up doors for you to, okay, where is your pitch? And you show to the host how you will add value to their audience. You know, what is in it for them always, not talking about you all the time, but how can you help them with their goals, right? The host, they want to have create the best content possible to grow their audience, you know, to grow their business. So if you approach it that way, you won't feel like you're doing something sleazy. You're doing something that would contribute to the host's content calendar, right?
Yeah. So very much think about you're contributing to their goals.
Exactly. Makes sense?
Yeah. So again, I'm going to drop some more marketing speak here, right? If you know that if the tree falls in the forest, does anyone hear it, right? Okay, so we're not a philosophy podcast, but it is this important point. You've produced something great, whether it's your own content or now you're on a show, but no one hears it or very few people hear it. The question is, did it make much of an impact? Because our goal here is to go out and reach as many of the target audience, you know, you're seeking. So this part around amplifying, particularly with internet social media these days, tell us what's really key and working here for those you help guest.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's the one thing that people think about only, like, I want to go to big podcasts with huge downloads. That's just one part of it. Not even the biggest impact that you can have short term. Of course, those interviews will be there. They have long shelf life. It's, you know, podcasts are evergreen, right? They get indexed on Google, especially if it's video, goes on YouTube. It's there forever. It's searchable. People will keep finding your name throughout 5-10 years. You know, you never know when the right person searched for your name or for the episode or for the title of that episode and then sees the right episode. Okay, I need to contact this guy. So that's one thing. So shelf life, think about that. It's not just the episode downloads immediate. It's like the shelf life. And then the second thing about the amplification. So it has two parts, the amplification. The number one is the what we talked about, the you know, creating short videos, leveraging each episode to create short pieces of content that you can use on social media that creates a lot of social proof. It completely transforms your social media and my clients. So I can tell you the amount of times I got comments, like messages, people saying, Thiago, I booked a call with you because I saw your short videos, and it's, you know, give me a lot of trust in talking to you. So that it can give you quick wins immediately there. But the other side, the most people forget to do or disregard or don't think it's important, is a relationship with the host. You know, as I mentioned, so there's those hosts are hyper super connectors. They know lots of people in your area, in your niche. They're super influential. So it's very smart for you to position yourself as a true partner in their eyes, help them promote their podcasts, you know, share lots of posts, tagging them, sharing their podcast. They will love you for that. They'll think, oh my God, someone is helping me finally. I'm not doing this on my own. That opens up doors, you know, because they saw you in action for an hour. They heard your story. They see that you're an expert in that area. And then you're helping them out with the podcast. They'll be open for anything you say. So, and this is an opportunity for you to say, hey, by the way, amazing to be on your podcast. I loved it. Thank you so much for that. By the way, do you know someone who is interested in what I do? I actually have a referral program that could, you know, I could pay you a referral fee for whatever. And if you do that consistently, constantly throughout your tour, it opens up doors immediately. Like it's the short-term wins, I think, are there. And most people forget it. I'm sure you as a host, you feel that most, you know, guests come on and then just forget about it, disappear.
Okay. So it's very much the relationship with the host. And this other part you said around thinking about shelf life, and it comes back to short form video. I'm hearing this a lot. If we're doing a makeover on me, I don't do a lot of short form video. Am I like totally missing the boat here?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of potential there because it's good content, good stuff, good, highly, you know, trustable content. It's like you interviewing people, for example, or you being interviewed, you being connected to the two humans creating a mastermind effect. So it's very smart to leverage everything to put on your social media, to share on your email list, because you already did it. You did all the hard work, which is to sit down and create something. Now leveraging it is the easiest part and a huge potential there.
So, Thiago, it sounds like all of these pieces do help, but is there anything else here that getting listeners out there to actually take some action or, you know, become clients. You're playing the long game, but anything that you see the really effective clients doing and those that are getting so-so results, what kind of separates them?
Absolutely. And then I'm gathering the best practices throughout the years. I'm seeing the patterns of what exactly makes a difference. And what I'm seeing is what we mentioned before is the connection you create with the listener. Especially if you tell your story in a way that really resonates with their what they're feeling, experiencing right now, they create that connection with you and they see that you found a unique way to solve that issue that they're experiencing now. So always using emotional language, you know, the visual words, marketing thing is to use the language of your clients, right? But it's actually true. They will feel that you are the only person that understands them deeply at a deeply emotional level. If you do that, it's already halfway there. And then the cherry on top of the cake is your call to action. Okay, so at the end of the interview, usually the host asks, so how can people get to know about you? This is the opportunity for you to, you know, bring the right person to your world. It has to be something really compelling, something that you really want solved right now, or a short problem you can solve, or a quick win you can give them. But it has to be really compelling. Most people just say, hey, I have an ebook, you know, can buy my ebook or book a call with me or go on with my social media. But imagine the person is in the car or no, not in the car, but imagine she's washing dishes or doing something else while listening to podcast. They need a really compelling, strong, compelling reason to pick up the phone and type the link. So that's also something that I work with my clients. So making sure that a call to action is something that people really want to take out of their plate to come into your world, enter your, I don't know, lead generation platform or something like that, and you know, take action. That's the hardest thing.
What's an example from one or two of your clients that have been really effective that they've come up with as a compelling call to action?
Yes, we created so many, but usually what works best, what has been working best, is they call those sheets self-identifying quizzes, that where you input your information and it shows at which level you are right now. So it shows it. Okay, I'm not doing any of this, and this is, you know, what I should be doing. I need to do something about it. You know, I need to take action with my clients. Or that's one thing that's working. The other thing is like templates or cheat sheets that show them how to solve a problem quickly, a small problem that they have right now. For example, I'm going to share with you at the end the templates that I mentioned, that how to craft that email that you can get already, start getting bookings right now, you know. So how to craft your unique messaging, small worksheets that solve a problem they want right now. Because that shows that you are helping them in advance before you ask for money. They see that you are someone who knows what you're doing and you could help them out.
Yeah. Tiago, another question. When I launched my book, I worked with two different consultants who were booking me on podcast shows. One was reasonably good. The other was not very good at all. And so I feel like it would have helped me to know how to better diagnose that up front. And there are a lot of people out there who offer these services. What is one or two good questions that everyone should be asking when they're considering, you know, a consultant to help them, like yourself, do podcast guesting?
So number one, I think the number question is this person, company, et cetera, just going to put me on podcasts and that's it? Or what I'm trying to do is to make sure that my clients are fully prepared to be amazing guests. Of course, in the eyes of the host, that makes my life easy, of course. But also while they're doing the interview, how to be a guest that actually goes on a podcast and makes that experience worthwhile for them. The time they're spending there has to be spent in a way that will attract eventually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 potential leads that would be attracted with what they're saying. So, and also if they amplify every episode, of course, I'm focusing a lot on creating also short pieces of content, but also coaching on how to leverage that relationship with the host to make sure it's even more, that you leverage each episode to its maximum potential, basically. So I think that's the question you should ask. Is it just a booking agency or is it more than that, an agency of that focuses on giving you the biggest results possible?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Tiago, what are ways that people see more of what you do? You've alluded to things that you've posted. So how do people reach out, learn more about you, and connect with you?
I'm focusing a lot on helping my clients do the best work as possible. It's right now I'm focusing all my communication efforts on LinkedIn. So if you go to linkedin.com/IN/Tiago Faria, I'm the only Tiago Faria there, TIAGOFARIA. You can see my work, what I'm doing, how I help my clients. And if you just reach out to me there, you can ping me. I will share with you the template that got me booked on those 67 podcasts. You can try it yourself. You can get those initial bookings, if you will. And also can share with you the worksheet that we discussed here, the positioning worksheet that helps you find, okay, what makes you different? What makes you unique? There are a couple of prompt questions that make your brain work and extract from it what you need to have your message feel even more unique and get more bookings like that.
Well, I will include those links in the show notes. And I will note, right, for spelling, right, it's Tiago Faria, or it sounds like that, but it's pronounced Faria. Am I correct, though, in Portuguese?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
I wanted to make sure I'm not mispronouncing your last name. It has been a very informative and useful podcast. I think it demystifies a lot of things around what guesting is, how you should go about it, and some of the keys to making it really effective. It's not just booking. It is the prep. It is the amplification and forming the connection. So, Tiago, thank you for joining me on 97% Effective.
Thanks so much, Michael. Hope people got at least one little tip they could implement right now.
Thanks for listening to 97% Effective, where we skip happy talk and help you break through and ascend one hard truth at a time. Help others discover this show. Leave a review and rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you like what you heard, you can get free resources, including the first chapters of Michael's book, Get Promoted, on his website, www.changwinderoth.com. That's www.changwenderoth.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.